Good evening, everybody. It's good to see everyone back this evening. Please open your Bibles to the book of Matthew. We will get into this study in a minute. For the last so many Sunday evenings, I've been talking about personal evangelism, about stories of conversions, accounts of conversions. And in those conversions, one of the things that was consistent that everybody preached was they preached Christ. So I thought it would be good for a few sermons to look at Christ and look at Christ in the Gospels. So we'll look at Christ in the Gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. With Matthew, Matthew has 28 chapters, and Matthew emphasizes Jesus as the King. And again, remember that each of the Gospels was written to a different audience. Matthew was written to the Jews. Mark emphasizes Jesus as a servant. It's action-packed. It's what Jesus did, proved who Jesus was. And Mark wrote to the Romans. Luke emphasizes the perfect humanity of Jesus, the Son of Man. And Luke wrote to the Greeks. John emphasizes the deity of Christ, where Christ was completely God, and his gospel is a universal gospel. So keep in mind, Matthew wrote to the Jews, and primarily to show that Jesus is the King. So with that, there are several themes in Matthew. We see the fulfillment of prophecies. There are more prophecies from the Old Testament in Matthew than the other Gospels. We see the kingdom of God. Again, Jesus being the King, he has a kingdom. We see the church. There are different sections, teaching sections that he has. And with Christ being the King, Matthew stresses his power and his authority of Christ the King. So when we consider that Matthew emphasizes the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecies, Matthew is the perfect book to be a bridge from the Old Testament to the New Testament, where they would write about Christ or prophesy about Christ in the Old Testament. And then when we get to the New Testament, Matthew goes in and starts talking about the fulfillment. He often repeats a phrase that it might be fulfilled. So he's emphasizing the kingdom of God and the church of God. From Matthew 16, 18, we see that they are the same entity and that the church is the called out body that makes up the kingdom. Now, Matthew was a tax collector. And if you think of a tax collector or the person that does your taxes or an accountant, they usually have a pretty logical mind, an orderly mind. And Matthew arranges the book in a very orderly way. He arranges different teaching sections into five sections. Chapters 5, 6, and 7, the Sermon on the Mount. Chapter 10, he talks about discipleship. Chapter 13, about parables, with the parable of the sower, the wheat and tares, the mustard seed, the leaven, pearl of great price, and the dragnet. He arranges all of those parables in one spot on the kingdom. Chapter 18, he talks about the need for a childlike heart and a forgiving spirit. Chapters 24 to 25, he talks about the destruction of Jerusalem, the judgment on Jerusalem, and the temple, and the end of the world. The book concludes with the King's marching orders, the Great Commission. And we will get to that as we go through the lesson. So, to consider an outline on Matthew and looking at Jesus as King, if you're taking notes, write 1 through 7, and then these points are going to refer to the King, and I'll give you a list of points, and we'll go through them briefly, We'll go back, and as time permits, we'll look at some verses in Matthew. But this is just to give us a good overview of how Matthew portrays Jesus to us and Jesus as King. So number one is presentation. And if you don't get all of these down as I say them, like I said, we'll go through them as we go over them. Number two is constitution, the king's constitution. Number three is the king's power. Number four is the king's instructions. Number five is the king's subjects. Number six is the king's judgment. And number seven is the king's gospel. So again, if you didn't get those as I said them, you'll have opportunity here as we go through. So when we consider the first four chapters, we have the king's presentation. Jesus is presented as the king of the Jews. When we look at chapter one, we get into the genealogy, the king's birth. Chapter three, we see the forerunner of the king. Again, the forerunner of this important person that's coming, the baptism of the king. Chapter four, we see the temptation of the king. We see his power, his authority, and we see the promised one of the Old Testament. But we see the king's presentation. The whole world knows that Jesus Christ is the king. When we get to the next section, chapters 5 through 7, we see the king's constitution. We see the beginning of him giving the law. We see the ethics of the king. And we looked at this when we studied the Sermon on the Mount. And we saw that this sermon contains the characteristics of a citizen of that kingdom. And Christ gives his law. We see the character where we are to be, have influence like salt and light. That's what Jesus wants us to be. That's what Matthew shows. Matthew shows respect for God and his holy word. Jesus talks about sincerity. That's, again, part of his constitution, part of his law. He talks about priorities. That's part of his law, putting God first, seeking the kingdom first, the ethics of the king. We see good judgment made in the Sermon on the Mount. And from 7:13 to the end, we see choice and commitments. The two ways, the two roads, the two foundations. The third point for the power of the king, in chapters 8 and 9, we see where Jesus performed many miracles. He showed his power over death, over demons, over disease, power over nature. And only God could have this kind of power, God who came from heaven. And you see, as we go through this gospel, it is very orderly in the way that Matthew lays it out. The fourth section, chapters 10 through 17, we have the king's instructions, more of what he taught his subjects to do. In chapters 5, 6, and 7 that we just mentioned with the Sermon on the Mount, it is what he taught. Chapters 8, 9, you think about the miracles, that's what he wrought. Chapters 10 through 17 is what the people thought, what they thought about him. So what he taught, what he wrought, and what the people thought about him. And what did people think of Jesus? Two of the biggest opinions were resistance and rejection. Resistance and rejection, because ultimately they were going to crucify him. The fifth section with the king's subjects, when you start in chapter 18, this is chapters 18 through 23, the king's subjects how do those who belong to Jesus think and behave? So Matthew explains to us about Christ, how subjects of his, how we are to think and to behave. Chapter 18, we are to have a childlike heart, to be innocent, pure, and forgiving. Chapter 19, we see people who are willing to forsake everything and follow him. Chapter 20, people of God are characterized by humility and grace. Chapter 21, we see this heavenly authority. It's not from man, it's not what man says, but he spoke as one that had authority, and they recognized that from the time he started speaking back on the Sermon on the Mount. Chapter 22, 36 through 40, Matthew records where Jesus tells us, when asked the greatest commandment, that we are to love God with all of our heart, soul, and mind. Chapter 23, warning against apostasy, leaving God and not loving God. The sixth point, the king's judgment, when you get to chapter 24 and 25, again, chapter 24 deals with the judgment on Jerusalem and the temple and what is going to take place when Jerusalem is destroyed. And then in chapter 24, verses 35 through 36 are talking about the end of time. And then chapter 25, there are parables concerning the second coming. The last section, chapters 26 through 28, we have emphasis on the Lord's Supper, where he institutes that, the institution of it. We see the prayers of Jesus. We see the trial, the crucifixion, the death, the resurrection, or we could sum that up, the king's gospel in these last two chapters. And then Matthew concludes with the victory found in Jesus. So when we look at Matthew and the way he lays out this account of Christ, we see the king's presentation, the Son of God coming down from heaven, being born of a virgin. We see the king's constitution. This king has a law, and it's different. It's a different law than what they were used to. We see this king has power. He doesn't just say something. He can work signs and wonders and miracles to show who he is. This king, he has instructions for how he wants his subjects to live. He talks about, Matthew records Jesus talking about his subjects. Not just anybody can be one of his subjects, but he talks about, the attitude, the mindset that we are to have. And as king with all power and with all authority, this king is going to make judgments. He's going to judge the religious rulers, the religious world. He's going to judge Jerusalem. He's going to judge the temple. He's going to judge us. And then we see the king's gospel, the memorial of his crucifixion. We see his crucifixion, his death, burial, and resurrection. So those are seven points that are brief, but they outline how Matthew explains to us who Christ is, with Christ being the king. So as we have time, let's go through some verses in Matthew and just look at some of the things that he points out. So in chapter 1, verses 21 through 25, we see that Christ is Emmanuel, or God with us. "She'll bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." And again, think of Matthew as a bridge from the Old Testament to the New Testament. The Old Testament, Joshua, Savior. Jesus, Savior. He will be called Emmanuel. In verse 23, which is God with us. In chapter 2:2, again, he gets right to the theme. He records, "Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." You drop on down in chapter 2 to verse 6. "But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Again, here's the fulfillment of one of the prophecies of where he would be born. And again, this section, we're in the section of the presentation of the king as he is being made known to the world. So when we get to chapter 3, this king that is coming, he has a forerunner that goes and cries out before him to make way for this king. And who is this forerunner? It's John the Baptist. "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Chapter 3:15, we see that Jesus is baptized by John. And when he is baptized by John in verse 15, "Jesus answered and said to him, 'Permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness.' Then he allowed him. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him." Verse 17, "And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" So in this presentation of Jesus, we have God the Father speaking, saying, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased." Chapter 4, Jesus goes into the wilderness. He's led by the Spirit, and he is tempted by the devil. Chapter 4 and verse 4, "But he answered and said, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.'" So when Satan starts tempting Jesus, how does Jesus respond to the temptation? He responds with Scripture. And again, "It is written, it is written." So much of Matthew is going to go back to the Old Testament and show that Jesus is the fulfillment of the Old Testament. When we get to chapters 5, part of the king's constitution, part of his law, he's the Sermon on the Mount. He starts off with the Beatitudes. If you want to be one of my subjects, these are the attitudes you have to be, you have to have. You have to have these attitudes. If you have these attitudes, you will be blessed. Chapter 5 and verse 20, an important section in the Sermon on the Mount. "For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." So these religious people, he told them that their righteousness had to exceed that of the scribes and Pharisees, or there's no way you're going to get into the kingdom of heaven. And whose kingdom is he talking about? He's talking about his kingdom that he came to establish. Chapter 6, verses 19 through 21, he talks about our treasure. Where is our treasure? "Lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." So again, his kingdom is not of this world. It's not a physical kingdom. It's a spiritual kingdom. And that's where we are to lay up our treasures in heaven. And what gets in the way of that? Again, we get distracted by things of the world, what we see, what people try to get us to do. And in chapter 6, in verse 33, he says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." we have it backwards so many times. We go out and try to take care of all of these things, and then if we have any time and energy left over, then we give it to the king and his kingdom. But Jesus says, seek the kingdom first, and then God will take care of all these other things. You won't have to worry about them. He'll take care of them. Chapter 7, again, we're in the section on the king's constitution. With chapter 7, remember the number 2. Remember the number 2. There's only 2 ways. Jesus says there's only 2 builders. There's only 2 trees. There's only 2 fruits. There's only 2 gates. You mean we don't get a third option? We don't get a third option. We either travel the narrow way or the broad way. We either go in by the narrow gate or the wide gate. We either are a wise builder or a foolish builder. Chapter 8, we get in to the king's power. And again, he backs up what he preached by performing these miracles. And notice in chapter 8, verses 11 and 12. And I say to you that many will come from the east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And where are they going to do that? In verse 11. In the kingdom of heaven. And who's the king there? Jesus is the king. Verse 12. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So we see there's only 2 kingdoms. There's only the kingdom of God, of Christ, and the kingdom of Satan. In chapter 9, when we talk about the king's power, we see his compassion. The king had compassion. Jesus had compassion. And we should be thankful that we serve a king who has compassion. He cared. And he wants us to care. In verse 36 of chapter 9, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep, having no shepherd. So we see our king is very compassionate. When we get to the king's instructions and what the people thought. In chapter 10 and verse 28, he says, fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Now that's kind of different, because when there's somebody that could do harm to you, you're usually going to fear them. But he says, don't fear him which will kill the body and not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body. In chapter 11, we see that John is in prison. He sends some of his followers to Jesus to ask, are you the one that's come, or should we be looking for somebody else? And Jesus said, go and tell John what you hear and what you see. Tell John what you hear and what you see. Because Jesus, his works, his miracles, prove that he was the Son of God. He was the King of Kings. Chapter 12, verses 34 through 37. Brood of vipers, how can you being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word that men speak, they will give an account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. So here are some of the king's instructions. Look out for what you say, because your words, they are either going to justify you or they are going to condemn you. Chapter 13, he gets into parables about the kingdom. Chapter 14, we see John the Baptist is beheaded. Jesus feeds 5,000. He walks on water. And again, what's he doing? By feeding 5,000 and walking on the water, he's showing the power, the king's power that he has. Chapter 15 in the king's instructions in verses 8 and 9. What does Jesus call the religious leaders? He calls them hypocrites. These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrine the commandments of men. So again, people, they don't know what to think about this king. They were expecting somebody different. In chapter 16, when you see leading up to this, what people thought, there was resistance or rebellion. So he just asked his disciples, so who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Who are they saying that they think that I am? In Matthew 16, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. He said unto them, but who do you say that I am? Who do you think that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. Some man didn't tell you this. Flesh and blood didn't, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock, on this confession, I will build my church, my kingdom, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Then he commanded his disciples that they should tell no one that he was Jesus the Christ. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. Moving on in Matthew, Matthew records in chapter 17 the Transfiguration, the Mount of Transfiguration, and what are they told when they are there? This is my son. Hear him. Don't listen to Moses and the prophets. Their time has ended. Listen to my son. Listen to my son. Chapter 18, talking about the king's subjects, we see the principles of humility and forgiveness. How many times should I forgive somebody? Seven times? Not just seven times, 70 times seven, you forgive somebody. Chapter 19, we see the institution of marriage and questions about that. And Jesus goes all the way back to the beginning. Again, he is showing his authority. In chapter 19, also, we see again that God must come first. And in chapter 19, beginning at verse 16, now behold, one came and said to him, good teacher, what thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? So he said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is, God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. He said to him, which ones? Jesus said, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The young man said to him, all these things I have kept from my youth up. What do I still lack? Jesus said to him, if you want to be perfect, go and sell what you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Jesus teaches that he must come first. He must come first in everybody's life. Chapter 20, again, we see humble service. 20 through 28, the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, desiring a certain thing from him. She wanted her sons to sit in positions in the kingdom, one on the right hand, the other on the left. She was full of pride. When you set up your kingdom, make sure my boys have a good spot. You know, it's all about who you know. It's you got to have connections. We want to be on the inside. She was just full of pride. Jesus answered and said, "Ye know not what ye ask, but if shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. For even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many." Chapter 21, the question again of authority from heaven or men. And we see this question keeps coming up over and over. And Matthew nails it. He confirms it, that Christ has all authority. And when they would, when the Pharisees and scribes would try to trick him up, catch him in a trap, Jesus would ask them a question to prove his authority. Chapter 22, what is the greatest command? Love God and your neighbor. This whole section, 18 through 23, talking about the king's subjects. How are we as subjects of the king? How are we to live? How are we to act? How are we to treat each other? Chapter 23, you get to the woe chapter. Woe. 23:13, but woe to you, scribes and Pharisees. Chapter 14, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees. Verse 15, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees. 16, woe to you, blind guides. Verse 23, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees. Verse 25, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees. Verse 27, verse 29, he is condemning them for things that they are doing. And he is setting up, when they ask him, he knows ahead of time what they're going to ask him in chapter 24. And he's laying out the groundwork. You people are despicable. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees. And then when he gets to chapter 24, he brings the judgment on them that the Jerusalem is going to be destroyed and the temple is going to be destroyed. Why is that going to happen? Because they have defiled the temple. God is not going to remain in that temple that they have defiled. It's just going to be destroyed. It's going to be done away with. And the kingdom that Christ established is the only kingdom that's going to stand. Chapter 25, more parables. The virgins, the talents, the division of sheep and goats. Those are parables of the judgment that's going to take place. Chapter 26, the Lord's Supper. We see him in the garden. We see his trial. We see the king's gospel, the death, burial, resurrection. Chapter 27, with Jesus before Pilate. Pilate asked a question that every one of us has to ask in our life. What then shall I do with this man, Jesus? What shall I do with Jesus, who is called the King of the Jews? We see where Christ is crucified. The Jews will have it no other way. They want him put over to be crucified. The Romans crucify him. They nail him to a cross. He dies on the cross. But that's not the end of the story. That's not the end of the king. They put him in the tomb. They put him in the grave. But the grave cannot hold him. God raises him up. He is risen. in Matthew 28:10, then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. Now, while they were going, behold, some of the guard came into the city and reported the chief priests all the things that had happened. When they had assembled with the elders and consulted together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers, saying, 'Tell them his disciples came at night and stole him away while we slept. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will appease him and make you secure.' So they took the money and did as they were instructed. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, and some doubted. And Jesus said and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.'" Amen. So we've seen here very quickly as Matthew describes Jesus as king. We see the king's presentation, the king's constitution as law, the king's power, the king's instructions, the king's subjects, the king's judgments, the king's memorial, his crucifixion, his death, and resurrection. So when we preach Jesus, there's so much to preach about. So much. And then you look at what some of the denominations, some of the churches are preaching about on their billboards. That's not going to save people. We need to preach Jesus. This historical account, this historical record, this story will save men's souls. It will put them on that path where our captain will steer and direct us and lead us to heaven. Christ in the Gospel of Matthew. Next week, we'll look at Christ in the Gospel of Mark. The Gospel, the good news. It's great news that Jesus came and died for us, that we could be forgiven of our sins. If there's anybody here this evening that needs to be baptized for the forgiveness of their sins or has sin in their life and wants to repent of that, confess of it, turn and give their hearts to Christ, if we can assist anybody this evening, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.